Good morning. This sermon has been heavy on my heart. It's a product of a book that the youth girls were covering. And it's by a lady author, Mary Klassen, Klassen, something like that. And as the youth advisors were teaching it with the girls, they came to a chapter called Roles. And they, as Janice and Krista looked at it, Benita's also helping teach that class, but as Janice and Krista looked at it, they said, Eric, you need to teach this to everybody. And so I presented it to the youth. And it sounds very difficult to hear. It is cross-cultural this morning. And at times you may want to get out of your seat, but hang on. Hang on to your seat. Wait until it's over, till it's finished. And then judge by its fruit, please. You may gladly speak to me personally. I enjoy that interaction. I'll be standing in line. But just if you need to, hang on to your seat till it's over today. Talking about our roles, and I also must admit that I have brought this subject. It was well received. Last weekend, I was able to share with the Martindale Youth Group at a cabin with 40-plus youth, and they received it well. So, again, what has God have for us this morning? And I say that you must receive this word for yourself. This word is not for you to look around and to say, oh, yes, they need that. No, this word is for yourself. It speaks to men and women and the roles that God has designed for them. And so let us pray before we begin. Dear God, I just pray again that your word would become alive and it would be real again to us, that you would speak to us through your scriptures, that my tongue would not get in the way, that we would be able to receive what you have for each of us here this morning. And we thank you for your promise of where just two or three that you are here, God, and we rely on you again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So you may turn on the PowerPoint, and I have to start this. The first point, as we look at, and the author has 6 points of men and 6 points for ladies. And the first point for the male is that he is firstborn, head of the human race. In verse 7 of Genesis 2, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God, in his order of things, honors those who are firstborn. From animals to people, to nations. God calls Israel his firstborn. And I don't know why, but this is what God does. And there'll be many points that we may not understand, but we can see this is what God does, and so we have to honor that. The second point is that the male was put in the garden. Doesn't sound like a big deal, but I believe it is. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Man was already formed. Where was man? Where did he come from? Not from the garden. Where did he come from? He came from the wild. He came from beyond the shelter of a garden, beyond the fence, out in the wild. Men were made from the wilderness. We were formed from dust in an open, untamed, wild place. And men connect with that. Yeah, I see some heads nodding. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting because I was teaching this last weekend, and the women were in the cabin, and the guys were in tents outside. Really, we were in the wild. So, and that's true in camping. I mean, there's a whole lot more guys that enjoy camping and sleeping on the ground. than women. And these are some fundamental basic things that are kind of funny, and we chuckle because we connect with it. But again, I present to you, this is how God has uniquely made you. And so again, the men, we have come from outside the garden, and he placed us in the garden. And the second thing God said for man in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend. And it says in verses 8 and 9, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as I read these verses, verses 8 and 9, I hadn't really thought about this before. But as I read these verses, it makes me think that the trees were seedlings when God planted the garden. If Adam was instructed to tend it, and our next slide is to keep it, it appears that the garden was just done if it was planted. And so, of course, we understand that there is work involved in an orchard. And notice that this tending implies work. Work is a good thing. Work is a good thing. There is no sin yet. Did you get that? There's no sin yet, and yet we have work. And men nod their heads and connect. This is what God gives us to do. That's how we're made. We work, and it has nothing to do with sin. It's how we're intricately designed. We work. So again, work is not a bad thing. The next point is that the men were commissioned to protect. Because it says in verse 15, the rest of the verse, and then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. And God gave Adam two distinct jobs here in verse 15, tending and keeping, which today we can view as work and protecting. When you keep something, it's yours. I mean, you protect it, you defend it, you take care of it. It's all protection. And these traits were given to us as part of the very fabric that makes us male. Working and protecting. This is what we do. So oftentimes the father of a home will step in and say, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. And the rest of the home is like, well, I don't understand that. And he's like, well, I'm not sure either, but I don't feel good about that. And I think that comes from our inner God-given desire to protect. And sometimes we don't always understand it. And especially this one of these points, these two points of working and protecting and how intricately we are made, women don't always get that. But we're coming to them. we're coming to there. There are a few points here. The next thing that the man received was spiritual instruction. This was given to the man. In verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Adam received this before Eve was on the scene. Eve was not created yet, and yet God imparted this spiritual instruction to Adam. And I don't understand fully why, but so it is. God gave spiritual leading to the male. Brothers and sisters here, this is either good or bad. I don't know what you think, but I do know what God said and what he did, and I must humbly say this morning that he knows best. And so we must receive from what he has done and what he has said. The next point that man received from God as he exercised authority. In verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and threw them and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Adam was given the responsibility of naming all the animals. Wow, and I tell you, that would seem to me like a lot of work. And did you notice that God himself formed every bird? And God himself formed every animal. And where does it... Out of the ground, God took dirt and he formed every little feather and he formed every little hair on the tip of a tiger's tail. He formed them with his hands, and something that God made with such incredible detail, he didn't miss anything, and he presented each one to Adam. And he let Adam name it. How hard is that for us to make something and let someone else name them? That's difficult. I really see God deferring the ability, giving the ability to Adam to name the animals. And then that's truly working together to build something and let somebody else name it. Wow. God gave Adam specifically that authority. And so, these are the six areas in which God made Adam distinctly male. He was firstborn. He was put in the garden. He wasn't made in the garden. He was made outside the garden, put in the garden. He was commissioned to work. He was commissioned to protect. He received spiritual instruction, and he exercised authority that God gave him. And so as we look at the female, first point is that they were created from the man. In verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he, God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he, God, made it into a woman. And he, God, brought her to the man. And that word made could be translated built. God took the rib and he built that rib into a woman. And the first thing I notice here is the women were not made from dirt. Why do you think they like everything so clean? Men don't bother. The dirt doesn't bother them. You know? In fact, this was a topic for a wedding sermonette that I did a couple years ago. Meet clean, meet dirt. You don't really kind of grasp completely what cleanliness is until you're kind of married, and then you understand. Men, dirt just gets on them. They get out in the workplace, they get dirty. From ball uniforms to playing hockey, I mean, sweat and dirt happens. And a woman's job, it seems, and maybe you can dispute this is my own talking, it feels to me like the woman's job is at home, just beating the dirt out of him every time he comes back. Cleaning his clothes, washing the dishes. I mean, not saying that is completely how it should be, but that is often how our roles are, that the woman is busy getting rid of the dirt that somehow jumps on the guy. And this is a little bit the way we are made. I'm not saying, men, that you can't do the dishes. Don't read into that. Please help and do the dishes. But the idea that the woman was clean and not made from dirt is key, and we can connect with that. And that men feel really comfortable out in the dirt. It's how God made us. It's not wrong. It's just different. And the second point under the female is that she was created in the garden. Notice again that Adam was made in the wild, and brought into the garden to tend it, to work it, to keep and protect it. But inside of this tending and inside of this protecting and keeping, this is exactly where Eve was formed, in the garden. And all the girls go, ah. You know, women connect with that. They're not from the wild. Women were made in the garden. They were made in the walls of being protected, being guarded, being cared for. This is where God gave them life from the beginning, from the protection of a garden. And you feel this way because this is how God made you. And He knows exactly what makes you tick. He knows what you connect with because He made you. And God, in His wisdom, created the female in the protection of the garden. The third point under the female is that she enriched the male. In verse 18 it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And we kind of get hung up in English on that word helper. The Hebrew language is much more colorful. And the word helper here is ezer. It's E-Z-E-R in Hebrew. And it is a powerful word. There is nothing wishy-washy or weak about this Hebrew word ezer. In fact, most often ezer is transferred as being the Lord is being our helper. It's a powerful thing. And this helper is not one who has weakness. This is a verse where the word ezer is used. Our soul waits on the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Wow. What a picture. An ezer helps in a way that encourages and betters and enables someone to do and be more than they can or do on their own. An ezer is someone who helps you to do more than you can just by yourself. Wow, that's powerful. And that is how God designed the woman. He also made her the fourth point to defer to the male. In verse 22, "And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, He made into a woman, and He brought her to Adam. And Adam said, Now, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And God made Eve, and He brought her to Adam. And Adam knew exactly what to do. He broke out into a poem, and He named her. And she didn't say, "Now, wait a minute, buddy, I got a name for you." She received it. Adam let out immediately upon sight. And she received it. And it was good. There was nobody thinking, "Well, should I have said that?" Nobody was standing around going, "I don't know if I like that name." It was received because it was pure and it was holy and it was right, because that's how God made us. And the next point is that she was the male's perfect, female is the male's perfect counterpart. "She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man," is what Adam says there in 23b. And in Hebrew, Adam said, "She shall be called Isha, because she was taken out of Ish." Ish is I-S-H, and Isha is I-S-H-A. Ish means strength, and Isha means soft. The man was created to actively and joyfully initiate and give strength. And the woman was created to actively and joyfully respond and receive. Not that one is better, but that each complement each other. If you have all strength, you run over folks. if you all receive and respond, doesn't always work. It needs to be together. Each complement each other perfectly. And it was God's design. And the last point is the female was made for the man. In verse 18 it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Women were created for men. It's not a negative or a slam. They were created for, on account of man, because of man, and from man. It is not a derogatory, it is purposeful. It is the unique way that God made women. And we have come so far in our culture today that it's difficult for me to read that without cringing a little and wondering who's not going to like me. But as I look at this list of five of the six ways that God made women, it has to do with men. Created from the man, enriched the male, deferred to the male's perfect counterpart, made for man. Four of the six ways that God made women actually relate, have to do with relating to a man. Enriched the male, deferred the male's perfect counterpart, made for man, has to do with relating to the man. And these are the six areas in which God made Adam distinctly male. And my question is there any relational tendencies in the way that men are made? Maybe a little under protect and instruct, but it's only applied and it's not given directly. And yet women are relational all the way through. Four out of six is how God made them. And this is it. This is how God wired them. Men, our wives and sisters and daughters need healthy relationships. That's how they're made. They need them. If you do not provide a safe place for the women in your life to relate to you, they will relate to another man. That's what happens. Where a woman has a relationship, that is where her heart is. Because, again, that's how God made her. Men, please stay connected in healthy ways to your wives, sisters, and daughters. They need you in healthy, God-honoring relationships. And this is most often where divorce begins, men. Do not let that evil in your home. Provide, protect, and work towards what she needs, a healthy, God-honoring relationship. It's black and white. It's how it works. We as men must admit that even though this is plain, it's not always easy. Because we, again, men are not wired directly in this way. And now, throw in some weird science. Dr. Dobson, in his book, Bringing Up Boys, tells us about testosterone and what it does. Some of the youth are laughing because I covered this with them the other week. Testosterone, everybody's the same, basically, male and female, until somewhere around their, 12, 13, you kind of know what happens. Testosterone goes right to the man's head. And where his head used to work together, both lobes of his brain interacting back and forth, testosterone gets in there and severs some nerves in the man's head. Fries them. It's not the same anymore. All of a sudden, the man is very list-oriented, very logical, very step-by-step, very don't bother me, I'm thinking about this. One at a time. That's because your brain has been fried. And so, taking this illustration a little bit farther, Shante and Jeff Fieldham in their book, For Men Only, they describe it this way. Men have one computer screen in their brain, and it is in order, and it is logical, and there's its 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and if it's not that, it's A, B, C, D. I mean, it's in order. Women, follow me here, have 7 computer screens at one time. 7. And they're able to process off of each screen in any order. They can do that. That enables them to talk on the phone and do dishes all at the same time. A guy would drop the phone in the sink. It enables women to interact with more than one little child. You know, men would fix one diaper while the rest are doing something else. We don't have quite the same abilities. And so, as we look at how we're wired, we see it's so difficult to relate. Because when a man completes something on his one computer screen, it's checked off and it's gone. It's no longer there. And the women have a whole computer screen set up on yesterday and how they feel about yesterday still. And a man has already completed that task. He's already completed a couple things by 10 o'clock, and he doesn't even know what they were anymore because he doesn't have to think about them. They're gone. And so here we are, made completely different. And our brains being fried, men, completely different. And yet, God told us to lead. A woman who has the ability to see 7 computer screens at once. That's difficult. And ladies, God has given you this ability to multitask beyond my capability to reason. And yet, the ladies are supposed to follow the one computer screen man with one list. Wow. How is that possible? And so the question is, where are we now? What happened? Sin happened. Sin happened. In verse 16, God again gave the instruction to Adam, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And do you remember in chapter 3 what Eve told the serpent? This is what Eve said. Now the serpent was more cunning, beginning of chapter 3, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" Which actually is what God said. But what was Eve's reply? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Did God say that? Did God say, don't touch it? God didn't say, don't touch it. Well, who told Eve not to touch it? And who told Eve that God said not to touch it? Adam. He missed it. Was this first sin? I don't know. This is what God told Adam. "Out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And Eve tells the snake, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Adam missed his responsible role of being a spiritual provider in this case. He missed it. He added to God's word. And so, sin entered the world, and it has never been the same. Adam and Eve's relationship was broken with God. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that Adam and Eve's relationship with each other was never the same. Adam and Eve's relationship with each other was never the same. We are still living in this land distraught by sin, and it strains all of our relationships to this day. The part that's in us that is lackadaisical as a man who doesn't really want to lead. Brothers, it's sin. The part that's in you as a woman that really does not want to be led by an inferior thinking man, that, sisters, is sin. Wow. I wonder, and we get such a small glimpse of what the perfect relationship was, but I wonder, how can we live today if we're wired so differently? And we are living in sin and in the repercussions of that in our relationships. How do we understand each other? How do we come together? Can we be fixed? Of course, yes, we can. Romans 5, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, which is Adam, so also by one man's, who is Jesus Christ, obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offenses might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in earth, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can we be fixed? Yes. But it takes Jesus Christ. And you need only to look at the world who cannot accomplish marriage to admit that. You need only to look at the world and its shortcomings to understand that marriage cannot happen apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. There is only one way to new life. There is only one way to peace with your past. There is only one way to live for tomorrow. There is only one way to truly love your wife, your sister, and your daughter, and that is through Jesus, the author and finisher of our days. Men and women, we cannot complete this life God has given us on our own strength. It cannot be done. It is not possible without Christ, who forgives us, and through him we have the ability to forgive each other, even the ones whom we love so dear. God has given us an unaccomplishable task on earth so that others can see Jesus working in you. Do you get that? God has given you an unaccomplishable task on earth. You can't do it on your own strength. So that others can see that Jesus is working in you. God has given you something that you can't do so that others see Jesus in you. Wow. It makes me think of when God formed the animals and he created them in the feathers and the little fur and the spots on their hides and took all of that effort and then he gave it to Adam to name. And it feels a little bit that same way, that God enables us as husbands and wives to live together. He gives us that. And yet now we get to name it. We get to own this thing. And it takes His grace. It takes His ability to accomplish that. We can't do it on our own. You can turn the PowerPoint off. This morning I asked the worship team if they would lead us in a closing song. And they can come and prepare for that now. We were made so wonderfully. We were made so different from each other, male and female. And yet, God has purposed that this is how it should be. And I don't have any fancy words for closing. If God has spoken to you in some way and you need to respond to Him, you may come. And I ask that you respond to God alone this morning. No one has to come and join you up here for this time. But be open to come and speak to God as He has spoken to you. And if you come, it's not saying that you're, I'm not going to get into that. You come because God wants you to come and meet Him up here. For whatever reason, we will not judge. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the way that it teaches us. God, help me. Help me. This is the third time, God, that I'm presenting this stuff, and I am so learning this stuff. God, help me to understand Your word even more and apply it to my wife. Apply it to my wife. That's a good slip up. Apply it to my life. God, help me. God, help all of us to understand who You have made us to be. Give us the ability to live our lives for You in a way that others notice. God, we understand that we cannot accomplish this life without You. It is not possible. We come before You this morning in humble gratitude for the way that You have made us. And give us the strength to shine Your light, to be Your witness, that again others may see You in the tasks that we can't accomplish on our own. Thank You again for this day. And bless those who You have touched this morning, and bless those that may respond to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would please stand for this closing song.
Spirit, come.
us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to dismissed. Go with God this week.